Well, hello everybody, and welcome to Beyond Awakening, the Future of Spiritual Practice. I'm Terry Patton, the creator and host of this series. And for those of you who don't already know me, I'm also the founder and teacher of Integral Spiritual Practice and the author of the book Integral Life Practice, together with Ken Wilber. I convened this series to advance the public dialogue that's taking place at the leading edge of consciousness and culture by asking one critical question, which I examine from many perspectives. How can the growth of human consciousness, higher, deeper consciousness, enable human beings to truly change human culture so that we can grapple with and rise to meet our global crisis and effectively address the state of our world? This conversation today is part of a series on this topic that I've conducted with many of today's leading thought leaders and spiritual teachers, which you can access by registering at beyondawakeningseries.com. Today, I'm joined by Stephen Busby, and we'll continue that discussion in a conversation we're titling Cultivating Higher Consciousness Through Awareness of Subtle Fields. I'll begin by introducing Stephen and our topic, and then we'll spend about an hour in dialogue, he and I. Then I'll make some announcements, and we'll spend the last half hour or so taking your questions. So I expect we'll finish up in about an hour and a half. Stephen Busby studied and facilitated family and systemic constellation work, and then studied in depth with Thomas Hubel. His work has developed over 30 years with people, community, and organizations in Europe, Africa, Asia, and North America. He's now based at the Findhorn community in Scotland and also in Switzerland, where he's joining us from today. And he travels widely, offering coaching, consulting, and healing work. He runs healing circles and trainings in cultivating higher consciousness, conflict transformation, inner leadership, and innovation capacity. People sometimes imagine that truly extraordinary abilities cannot be taught, that they're a gift, that some are given and some are not. But Stephen Busby kind of defies those presumptions. He's worked to develop his natural intuitive talent, and I think this gives him some unusual insight into how these abilities can be cultivated. He'll be touring the United States with workshops and other events during March and April of 2014. And I'm pleased to help people get a sense of his work in advance of that. I invited Stephen onto this program for a number of reasons. One of them is that I think there's something important going on right now in the worlds of integral and non-dual spirituality in relationship to the subtle domain. In the pre-rational past, much of Western spirituality, which was often called spiritualism and included, you know, seances and all kinds of things, it had a fascination with psychic and non-ordinary abilities of various kinds that can be developed through sensitivity to the subtle domains. And so it was a big breakthrough to recognize that radical consciousness is a senior principle. But that has happened, and the kinds of spiritual practice that most of us are exposed to today in the progressive spiritual world, among, you know, educated Westerners over the last 30 years have been strongly aligned to the non-dual dharmas like Advaita Vedanta and High Buddhism and other contemporary teachings like those of Eckhart Tolle, Byron Katie, Gangaji, Ajahshanti, many others. And in my view, a truly integral spirituality recognizes consciousness and subtle energy. Consciousness is indeed, I think, the senior principle, and it's true that overfascination with subtle states and capacities does need to be understood. But on the other hand, the subtle, no less than the causal and the non-dual, is an essential dimension of our being in the world. And awakening to subtle information fields is a natural part of us awakening into our wholeness and into what Stephen, quite rightly, I think, calls a depth relationship to life. So among the things I appreciate about Stephen is that he's a realizer of this higher awareness, and he can transmit and teach it to others in a very gentle and transmissive and useful way. Also, as an advanced student of Thomas Hubel, he has his own style. Thomas often draws people when he begins his seminars to read the information fields of each other as a way to begin discovering their intuitive capacities. It's my understanding that Stephen often teaches people to begin by reading themselves. And there's something about that with which I also especially resonate. So I'm very happy to have him with us today. Welcome, Stephen, and thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, Terry. It's very good to be with you.
Well, you know, I want to give you an opportunity maybe to introduce yourself beyond what I've said and to say hello to everybody. And if you're willing, maybe to begin to draw us into some sensitivity to the subtle fields that are, you know, in something I didn't say in the introduction, you know, that this gross reality comes into being from the causal and the subtle, and that there's something to awakening to these fields that has us awaken to the causative factors that are alive around us. And if you can draw us into maybe some awareness of that, we can all deepen our field and participate together in a deeper way in this whole dialogue.
Well, I do think we are speaking about a fundamentally awakening path here. Perhaps you and I can explore what we each mean by that later on. I wouldn't want to say too much more now about myself or even where my own version of the field of this work has come from. You're inviting me to lead some kind of initial inquiry, is that right? So that we invite people into an experience of the field that we're
speaking
of.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah,
please.
Well, I could do that for, I have a form of exercise in mind. It would take between 5 and 10 minutes. So for all the people who are listening to this, you'd need to make sure that you're in a private, undisturbed space for the next 10 minutes, I'd say. And what came to me when I was thinking of this little exercise was it would be helpful if you're listening to this in front of a computer screen right now to turn your chair away from the brightness of the computer screen so that you're facing into another part of the room or even facing outside of the room looking through a window if that's possible, and make yourself comfortable where you're sitting on a chair or on the floor, and gently close your eyes. And then we can all of us, however many of us are listening to this call or the recording of it afterwards, we can all gently allow ourselves to sink into the next 5 or 10 minutes of some kind of experiment. And I'd like you to begin that by simply, with your eyes closed, listening to the sound and feeling the sensation of your own breathing through the body, the rise and the fall of your breathing as you experience it at the moment through the body. And be aware also of the sound of my voice and any other noises which might be part of your environment at the moment. And I'd like you to acknowledge your immediate circumstances of the physical environment in which you're sitting. Just acknowledge quietly to yourself the room or the space that you're in at the moment, whether it's part of a larger building, the time of day or evening or night that you're listening to this at, even the clothes that you're wearing and the state of your awareness at the moment, aliveness or tiredness, whatever it may be. Acknowledging our present circumstances as we sense them through our habitual way of sensing ourselves and where we are. And then I'd like you, as a next stage, to sense into the life context for for these immediate circumstances. So in other words, to acknowledge to yourself, for example, how old you are as you're sitting here listening to these words, the stage that you feel you've reached in your life at this age, perhaps more concretely, what allows you to be sitting in this room or this space, listening to these words, how have you planned for it, who are the people who also have helped to make it possible for you to do this, who are the people who've played a larger role in your life so that you have become whom you are at the moment, including, of course, those two people who helped you to birth into this life, your parents, whether or not you know them, and acknowledging their part in you being here in your life at this particular moment. Then, as a next stage, I'd suggest that you sense into the larger context of your life itself. If you were looking in on this person you call yourself, living his or her life at the moment, if you had some kind of take on the larger context or plan of this person's life, how would you look in on this life as it so far has unfolded? How much could you identify, for example, the particular challenges that this person's life has thrown up so far? This person who is you, but also the you who is looking in from a larger perspective. See if you can take a moment to identify to yourself the larger waves or forms of challenges which you've met so far in your life, however you feel you've dealt with them. Challenges, invitations that life has presented you with, exciting opportunities, unwelcome opportunities perhaps. Here you are with some kind of grasp of the larger context to this person's life. You're therefore no longer interested in the smaller details of this person's daily life, but more in the deeper currents which flow beneath it, the significant events which have underpinned this life's unfolding so far. Perhaps health events, relational events, professional events and circumstances. And now I'd like you to see if you can invite a sense of your deeper motivation for being in this life, and indeed see if there's a connection to your deeper motivation for being on this call, listening to these words at this moment. Beyond a casual or even a committed interest in the topic that Terry has introduced this evening in this call, or today in this call, wherever you're listening to it from. Beyond this surface interest, see if you can get a sense of the much, much deeper source of motivation which is running through you and which may not feel like it's yours. It's as if something is wanting a voice through you, wanting to explore life through you. Something is inquiring into the fabric of life through your life and its circumstances. Perhaps you have a sense of some kind of deeper calling or longing or yearning which is active in your life, perhaps sometimes running in the background, sometimes more to the forefront. and see if you can have a sense next of how this calling or invitation or longing, if that's how you experience it, has been playing itself out in your life. How do you experience this? Perhaps as some kind of persistent moving forward energy, perhaps as some form of quiet voice or impulse running in you sometimes, calling you forward, perhaps even providing you with a sense of guidance in life. How do you experience this motivation, this forward-looking impulse as taking form in your life? And this may be very subtle. We may be talking about the sorts of impulses that feel as if they're well below your everyday radar. But perhaps with hindsight you've realized that there was some aspect of yourself which was guiding you surely on some form of path or in some direction. And if you do have a sense of this, then allow yourself to feel the resonance of it within you. How does it feel for you to acknowledge and connect to this deeper impulse at the moment? The larger agenda for your life, for what is wanting to work itself out through this person's life, their life circumstances, their challenges and opportunities. And then perhaps you also have a sense of the probably many people listening with you to these words, not necessarily primarily to me or to Terry, but all the people who feel called to join in on these kinds of virtual inquiries, becoming increasingly common now on the internet and more available to more of us. As you listen and as I speak, we're part of a live community of people, very much larger than you or I or Terry could have imagined of just a few years ago. How does it feel for you to join in communion with possibly hundreds or more people at this time who are pursuing this form of inquiry? I believe the deepest form of inquiry we can conduct in life. And then finally, since you're probably listening to this alone, or unless you happen to have somebody next to you, assuming you don't have somebody next to you, imagine you have an imaginary friend who's sitting next to you at this moment, with whom you love to share your more intimate moments with, your deeper experiences of life, some kind of deep friendship or relationship in which you're involved, and take a few moments to silently dialogue with this cherished person of any experiences that may have arisen in you over the last 5 minutes or so. So I'll allow you a few moments silence to dialogue with that friend, to share anything that you feel could be or has been of significance as you've been listening. And as you're finishing up with that inner or outer dialogue, you can use the few moments of silence that we can also share here to simply enjoy the silent space that is existing and, I believe, expanding and deepening between possibly hundreds of people who are sharing in this experience at the moment. What is the quality of this silence as you partake of it now? Okay. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Terry.
Thank you, Stephen. Well, I think we all are resting into a very expanded kind of a space in which maybe we can stay attuned to all that. And you know, what I notice for myself is that this guided process has drawn me, you know, into a sensitivity to a greater context, and into a kind of an activated, I guess, some of my intuitive capacities that are sometimes drowned out by the busyness of my mind being on my activity, you know, level of mind.
Right.
And it's interesting, I'm conducting this interview with you right after I took a week-long meditation retreat, which was very much about you know, radical consciousness, identifying as awareness itself and not any arising content. And I kind of presenced that, you know, I think that we shouldn't try to create a controversy here. It's not, I don't think necessarily at all about a controversy, but, you know, there was a wave of spirituality in the West that was, you know, sometimes called spiritualism, that was very much focused on subtle capacities. And then there's certainly been a wave recently that's focused on radical consciousness and just being awareness itself, and recognizing that there is no separation between awareness and that which it observes, and the profundity of that non-dual disposition has been a big factor in contemporary progressive spirituality. And how you know, raising that, how are you framing the kind of service you're interested to give to people, you know, the kinds of capacities you're interested in helping them develop, and how do you think those different dimensions of awakening relate to one another?
And what comes to me to answer that, first of all, is to speak of my own experience, which has been actually, and I don't know if this is contrary to what you were suggesting, but to become more aware of the content of that which arises in my awareness, and to take it much more seriously. But I think that's been necessary and only possible through learning to bring a degree of differentiation to whatever arises in my in the more subtle experience of my awareness, so that I become more aware of different levels of what is arising and from where it seems to arise. And I would say what it seems to be resonating with, or if you like, the frequency at which it seems to be resonating or wanting to attract my attention. And then learning to take that very seriously indeed, the content of what's arising, because it may be the very next thing that my life is calling me to. So that's been my practice. I think unlike some of the traditions that you've just mentioned.
So this attention to the content of what is arising. There's a lot that's been observed that I think most of our listeners are familiar with. For instance, the idea of the monkey mind, chattering, superficial level of mind, and clearly you're talking about something much more expanded and deeper than that. And so there is at least a threshold. There are kinds of content that are superficial and other kinds that may be more significant. And how it is that you deepen below the level of the superficial into the more significant, and what it is that that signifies, or what is the defining distinction between what it is that's worth paying attention to and what isn't so valuable?
Well, I don't think there's any general answer to that one can bring. I think one very essential practice, at least that I've been fortunate enough to be able to cultivate through various teachers, has been to become aware of my more conditioned perceptual channels, the various ways in which I habitually seem to be receiving the world in, filtering it, interpreting it, and basing my life upon that, the choices and decisions that I make. So to become in a way very acutely aware of those perceptual filters, of the necessary subjectivity. And then, as part of that inquiry, allowing myself often through working in relational spaces with other people involved in the same kind of inquiry, getting a sense of what actually are the perceptual possibilities beyond my usual channels, beyond the ways I usually allow life in and expose myself to it. So I think this involves, in the form of relational work that we're talking about here, a very fine level of curious, active, and excited listening, beyond the ways we usually listen to each other, or moreover, the ways I usually have learned to listen to myself. And I think there does need to be the mirror of a relational space in order that I may be surprised by that and confronted by it sometimes, because I don't think alone, certainly not sitting alone, at least speaking personally, I'm liable to get that. I think I found I need the aliveness and the intensity of the sorts of relational spaces that arise through people who are committed to this form of work, in order for me to begin to refine my perception in ways that I normally wouldn't if I were left to my own devices. Does that make sense?
I'm intrigued to pursue that. This resonates with some of what has been most alive for me in the last period of time as well. I feel like I began to notice a subtler and subtler levels of subtle disturbance of my receptivity that, might be... what I was recognizing was, there are levels of anxiety that I would never have known to name anxiety, that just are an attenuation of my listening, that don't allow as deep a level of receptivity. And that for me, there was a a dropping in and an opening up of a kind of what I discovered opening up was a trust of my own soul nature, my own being, my own destiny, my own kind of the blessedness of being alive kind of calmed my being at a very deep level, and I was finding myself able to just dwell in a kind of listening that is very patient. It isn't on the edge of its seat insisting on something, like, just, it's kind of an unconditional receptivity, and it's not always it's a listening that I, you know, it might take place in a particular minute or 5 minute period, but in a way it's an abiding in receptivity over days and weeks and months that it seemed was most important, kind of a very slow, very deep frequency that is the opposite of impatient for information. Does that correspond to what you're pointing to?
Well, it does, but in a way I'm more interested in the process of what's been happening in my awareness since you began speaking that last this last response, since you began about a minute ago. So over and above the content of what you've been saying, when you began speaking it, I found that there was a form of opening happening in what I identify as my heart center here, and I felt myself softening some of the anxiety at being on this call with you today, melting away, becoming less apprehensive about the many people who might be listening to us and me needing to get something right here. And I felt a softening quality in my heart center, which continued to soften as you were speaking. And I felt myself becoming closer to you, and I felt the relational space here, which we're cultivating through our words and our presence, somehow deepening as you spoke. And I feel more present and alive now with you than I did at the beginning of this conversation. So that's the kind of awareness that I'm enjoying at the moment. And that's where I want to keep at least part of my attention. I would say even more so than with the content of whatever you and I might be saying, which is, of course, relevant, but I don't think is of primary interest here in this inquiry. So then I'm interested in the quality of this relational space and how it's resonating within me, and I'd love to hear how it's resonating within you and what other possibilities this may be leading to as we're cultivating this between us. And indeed remembering that, you know, we're only cultivating it between us because there are so many other people who are sharing in our relational space with us at the moment. So I don't think that what's unfolding here belongs in any form to you or to me. It's simply part of what's unfolding on this call in this very rich field that you've initiated here, Terry.
Yeah, wow. Thank you so much for that. The the transparency and vulnerability and feeling qualities that you described opening up in you as you were listening. My heart was opening, and I was feeling a kind of tender sense of connection and vulnerability. And also, in a sense, I was a little disarmed. I think I hold, when I conduct a public conversation like this, I think I have maybe a kind of dual attention. Partly I'm
right,
deepening into communion and contact and focus on the person I'm in conversation with, and partly I'm listening with an ear toward the different kinds of listening that I'm imagining are taking place in the consciousness of various listeners. And I'm interested, always, you know, make sure I'm providing real value to everyone.
Sure.
And I'm aware of other conversations, other agendas, other priorities that people might be holding, and I'm interested to honor all of them and to be a voice for the, you know, so there's something of that those multiple perspectives maybe that I'm intending to hold at the same time that can it's a bit of a yoga to drop really, really deeply.
And you're being spacious enough to hold so much more at the same time, aren't you? As you're demonstrating now.
Well, and it's not... I always feel very humbled by the process because, of course, I could always do some aspect of it more fully or better. And so I'm always... And I love being challenged from this more intimate and very tender kind of direction that your confession draws me, because for me to use the fact that some people on the line have, you know, other interests and kind of pull this to a somewhat more superficial space would.
Right.
You know, I would not. My heart would not. That would violate the value I hold of particularly this kind of tenderness and presence and openness and curiosity and inquiry feels like a very high value, and I'm not. You know, I don't have a muscle that can press to superficialize things, so I'm.
Sure.
I'm challenged. I can't quite hold all my my notes questions I might have wanted to bring.
Well, maybe if we continue, there'll be space for the other questions to come in. Because what I have an impulse to say now is to say how much closer I feel to your inquiry, the whole experiment that you're conducting here, which, of course, we'd spoken about before this call, when we first met each other, too. And I somehow get the experiment in which you're involved here at a much more visceral level somehow, and I'm excited to be part of it, and I feel closer to you through that, and I have a sense of your, how shall I say it, of the larger Terry, which is somehow helping to drive this along and hold its unfoldment. And this feels very beautiful, because we've had several calls together now, and I feel I know you a bit better and more deeply each time, and that touches me now that we're able to share that on this call. And I think that's relevant. I don't know if it speaks to some of these other agendas that you're holding, because my experience is that when we allow ourselves to deepen into this kind of space, the one that I'm sensing now, then I do feel I have access to other levels of information that are relevant to this experiment. In other words, to say it more plainly, I feel as I'm speaking with you and listening to you that there are, just beyond the threshold of the words that we are speaking, there are other places which could be suggesting to me information, images, tips, hints of where we may be taking us or where this might be taking us next. And this is very exciting, because these are the sorts of information that I think are available to us through the subtle realms if we allow ourselves to become sensitive there.
Mm. Well, I'm quite fascinated to hear you say that, encompassed by the possibility of your surfacing some of what's there. One of the inquiries that I've been, you might say a question, a koan I've been holding has been, you know, this animating question behind this series has to do with the fact that, you know, how awesomely, challengingly beautiful and, you know, sometimes exquisitely excruciating it is to be alive at a time in which our whole planet and ecosphere are in a kind of crisis that depends on a real advance of human culture, and also at a time in which there's so much awakening going on in, you know, very in the admittedly privileged areas of relatively wealthy societies where you and I, you know, come from, and yet there seems to be not the signs in the news, the signs in the public sphere are more and more of the crisis deepening, even as my own sensitivity to things suggests some deeper harmony finding its way into form. And I'm always inquiring into that, and inquiring into what the potentials are of the we of us as a community. So because there are, you know, hundreds of people with us here in this moment, then the field that you're listening into is not just the field of Stephen and Terry, it's this field of every one of us, and then the information that's arising in that field may be information about what the soul of all of us is, the next possibility of what might emerge in that shared field might have a broader creativity and significance, and so on. But my curiosity, you know, is really alive.
I mean, perhaps the first thing to say to that is that the information that we're referring to here, which many people who are listening in with us and perhaps even feeling the quality of the field which we're invoking here, isn't my information or your information or anybody's information, I believe, in the way we're using those words. I think it's a natural complex quality of a deeper relational field wherever those fields are allowed life, then there are so many other subtle layers of information because it's a bit of a cold word to use all the time, information. What feel like other layers of life's richness, which I can allow more to penetrate into my life and allow a much deeper, louder place in my life, so that I'm experiencing my life as coming through me from and nourished by these layers, rather than me needing to be in the driving seat all the time. And I think this is important for at least one aspect of the work that we're talking about here, which I call soul work, which is becoming more sensitive to, first of all, the smaller impulses that I may be aware of in my life, but also the larger movement of my life. What is wanting to express itself through my life in the way that I'm living it, through the different challenges that I'm presented with and the invitations that life seems to give me? What is the larger curve, if you like, or stream or current that seems to be coming through me as an individual? That if I prevent myself for a moment from personalizing that too much, then what is it seeking to express through this container that I've been calling Stephen up to now? So if I can step outside of my extreme identification with the container of Stephen for a while, then I may get a sense of this larger current. And my experience is that when I allow myself to do that, then more of the current becomes available to me. And life begins to be livable at a more instinctive level, more guided and conditioned by a level of awareness which is beyond the usual perceptual filters that I mentioned earlier on. And this, you know, this is a very beautiful experience. Not necessarily an easier experience, but it does mean, like many people, that I have the experience of being aligned with a higher or a deeper stream of life as it is expressing itself through me. Very much online, live, in the moment, because I don't think this stream is anything that we can refer to either behind us or at some place in the future. It needs to be allowed expression and realized and felt often in this very moment. And that's when I feel most alive, and that's when life becomes most exciting. As I say, not necessarily easier, but certainly I feel closer to what I have begun to identify as my higher purpose for being here.
Mm. You know, I'm reminded to ask you then. There are those who would critique, you know, all of the kinds of spiritual focus that you and even the non-dualists, you know, who I was contrasting, you know, to your approach, and would say, well, what's really important right now is for us to get into motion without our activism, you know, that, that, you know, the weather patterns of the world are going wacky. It's time to change policies. We need to get out in the streets. We need to influence those things. So much is at stake. This focus on our inner life is misplaced, or it, you know, it's okay to have some focus there, but it needs to translate itself into outer action very quickly and immediately without too much delay. And so, I'm curious to hear.
I would say not focusing on our inner life is a luxury which we simply cannot afford anymore. Because if I lend to my inner life this depth of focus, then first of all, it seems to become less and less my inner life, in inverted commas, something that pertains particularly to me or that I own in some kind of way. Mm-hmm. And it becomes an inner stream unfolding through me and other people, of which not only I'm increasingly aware, but which I'm learning to act from. And this is the form of action in life, in outer life, in different forms of activism that I believe that we most need, that comes from these realms, that is of these realms, and not of my own choosing or my own container or my own personality structure necessarily and exclusively. So I think the more of us that, at least the fields that I work in, that are being drawn to this form of, we could call it inquiry or communion, then the more the forms of activism that we need, I believe that we need in the world outside, become more essential and more focused and much more efficient. And that's the direction that I wish to be going in, from the inner to the outer, and not sacrificing anything there. Because I've done that for too much of my life, and now it's time to turn the flow of that and change direction, at least speaking personally.
Yeah, beautiful. That's really, really lovely and interesting, and I think provocative. And therefore, is it your intuition then that as more and more of us do this, there will be a way of us acting? acting from the flow of life that will have a kind of coherence and alignment with the with that which is really ready to happen, that will enable larger scale social change to emanate from a whole different place, and that this is actually the more effective way for us to embody our spiritual activism?
Well, perhaps, but I mean, two things. Who knows what is ready to happen? And secondly, I don't think I'd call it my intuition. I'd call it an experience of joining in these forms of inquiry, you know, increasingly collective containers of people who are drawn together to do this form of life inquiry work. And I my experience is that when we consent to do that, then we don't need to know or to anticipate or even to aim for whatever might believe might be needing to happen. We simply need to be here. But of course, as you know that's an overly simplistic way of putting it. We simply need to be here. Is in fact, the challenge of the largest possible scale we could possibly give ourselves. Because my simply consenting to be here is something that I've been conditioned against being most of my life. I've been conditioned to be everywhere and everything, except here, actually. So most of the forms of activism which I perceive as less useful are those which would take me away from my experience of this relational space with you at this very moment, including what becomes possible to you and me through the depth of this space, you know, as we cultivate it.
Mm-hmm.
Then I think our own form of activism will most naturally arise. And I'm not interested in any other, actually. I think this is the only one that counts.
Mm-hmm. Now, the people who are listening to this are a very, very diverse group of folks for whom many different things are priorities. Some of them are very serious practitioners with decades of deep meditation practice, and others are relatively new to the path. Some may be many of them have a practice, at least maybe a yoga practice or some meditation practice. And there's a and in the midst of that diversity, you know, I imagine there are some people that maybe your message is especially timely and that are really ready to hear what you're saying, but it may be that you have something to say to everybody, to that whole diverse group. And I'm curious who you think you're able to be of service to in what ways, because there's different things that open at different stages of one's life and path.
So you're asking me who or how I might address what I imagine might be the different kinds of people listening to this this call, and what they might, how they might gain something from it. Do you mean?
Yeah.
I have no idea. I'm simply here. I feel I'm here listening and serving the space that, as I'm experiencing it unfolding between us now, as it's being nourished by everybody who's sharing in this call, through the quality of the attention that you're all able to bring to this. And I think that's a form of practice which is available to all of us, you know, at whatever level we wish to be cultivating what we think of as spirituality or a deeper relationship to life or to the divine or however we may be defining this. And I've noticed this is a thread that's been running through my life, you know, as I've matured, and no doubt will continue to do so. So, is this speaking to the question that you put, Terry?
Yeah, in some ways, I think it is. I'm sensing. It's interesting. One of the things I've been considering recently in my own work is what I'm calling integral soul work. Mm-hmm. And my grounding has been in radical consciousness, in dharmas that are rooted in a non-dual view. And
yeah.
my feeling, as I said in the introduction, is that this development of our deeper and subtle capacities is a part of us growing into our whole selves in a fuller way. And I'm interested in seeing that, and yet I'm also very much aligned to those radical consciousness dharmas. There is a way in which whatever arises is empty. And that really there's a kind of utterly deep and profound silence.
Yes, but yes.
Yeah.
That may well be so, but before I can, in a way, pretend to any form of realm of emptiness, I need to be a lot more honest with myself about the ways that that I succeed in not being fully present to that which is here now, you know, the huge complexity of the container that I'm identifying as myself, this what I call the structure of my personality, how it succeeds actually in subverting my attention and taking me to places where I feel less aligned with the stream of life as I experience it, and more in a frame of mind which seems to me to be more distressed and less available to life's richness. And I'm much more interested in, well, first of all, in terms of a personal journey, you know, bringing my inquiry to the complexity of that container, which I'm calling me. But then I think one reaches a certain stage in this work, as I know you know, when fascination with this personal container just becomes less interesting. You know, my own personal processes are endless in a way. And at the end of the day, they're not really all of that interesting. They're certainly not original. So what I'm interested in is pursuing this work within collective containers of people who at least partially commit to this kind of depth. And then what we experience in these containers is that we're being invited to touch life, to become vulnerable to life at levels which transcend, you know, the fascination with my own personal stuff or journey, and rightly so. But I can't step over that. You know, part of this journey, you know, as you know, is bringing awareness to all those parts of myself that would over aspire to some grander or deeper place, and rather cleverly accommodate those parts which I'm much more embarrassed by, and or less aware of, and which are begging for some form of deeper integration, because I've been stepping over them for most of my life by now, and I don't think I can afford to do that anymore as part of this higher inquiry.
Beautiful. I'm really resonating with what you're saying right now. In some sense, I feel like we're getting down to it in a especially resonant way. And in a way, maybe to the nub of what you're then. So in your teaching work, you're convening a container that has this kind of tenderness, this kind of invitation, this kind of honesty and courage to be with what is begging to be integrated, and the work that you're facilitating is an aspect of something that's universally happening in the lives of many people, but which needs bridges built, and it's building those kinds of bridges of awareness that your feeling seems to be possible and of interest now. Is that I'm making this up now? Yeah.
Well, I think. I mean, in a way, it's simpler. It's all in a way that I need to do, or that anybody needs to do, I believe, who feels at all drawn to this work, is simply to listen to their motivation, to listen to your motivation. What's driving you? You know, not so much in an everyday concrete sense that might be causing you to sign up for another online course or for another workshop or whatever. But what's the current underneath that has been moving in your life that you feel as fundamentally motivating and that you may be very hard put to define, really, to close with words, but there's some form of energetic impulse which is wanting expression through the particular shape of your life as it has been played out thus far. And this deeper stream is what we're committing our inquiry to here, not because it's you or because your own personal container is as fascinating or more fascinating than other people's is, but because that's your place of access. That's my place of access. That's mm-hmm. where we enter into this work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm very resonant with this. And in a way, what you're inviting me to look at then is not like, sure, I've seemed to have a very much, you know, a very purpose-driven life, to use the common phrase, you know, in terms of doing all the kinds of work that I'm, you know, doing here in this series and my other teaching work. But there may be an impulse that's deeper than the story one would draw from the outer expressions that have found their way into form so far, that might
and
be
I think
the nextness of my own expression and evolution.
Yeah. And that impulse is really the crux of the matter, because this, I think, is the source of life as it is expressed through, you know, as it is expressed through my embodiment. You know, the extent to which I consent to become embodied in this life, and I don't think I've been all that embodied actually yet in this life. I've only discovered that as a reality in the last few years. But the extent to which I consent to become fully here, in and through the body in this life, then that's the extent to which I become more available to life's higher impulse, and more in service then to that impulse as I experience it.
Well, I'm really enjoying this and want to keep going, but we're past our time here to do the announcements and invite the questions. So, first of all, if you want to ask a question or say something to Stephen or me, if you're listening by phone, go ahead and raise your hand by pressing *2 on your telephone keypad. Or if you're listening online via your computer, just type in your question in the instant teleseminar window. Now, I want to make sure you know how to find out more about Stephen. He does have a website, which you can reach, and probably the easiest way to do that is typing his name, StephenBusby.com, into your browser. You will arrive at his website. But especially timely right now, you should know that he will be coming to the United States in March and April, beginning and ending in New York City, and also taking in San Francisco, Santa Fe, and Boulder. And there'll be a variety of events, including introductory evenings, and his soul work, and cultivating higher consciousness seminars, and I think even higher consciousness in business. So you can find information about all of that at a different website that you will have to remember a bit more. That's integralalignment.org. 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 Additionally, I want you to be aware of my work. Even if you are on the mailing list for Beyond Awakening, you're not necessarily on my personal mailing list, which is at terrypatton.com. So I invite you to go there and sign up for my personal mailing list, and you can read my blog and find out about other upcoming events and about working with me individually. And as I was saying earlier, something has recently opened up in my work that I'm calling integral soul work. And it's this sense of this unique soul nature emerging in new ways at every step of our life journey, and practices that support it. And even though it's radically alive and can't be reduced to any technique, there is a way of listening and living more deeply. In the last few years, I've been learning to dwell in that profound receptivity more and more. So I'm going to be leading a journey into this work, sharing my own soul journey, and as well as teaching an integral theoretical framework for this kind of work in small groups of up to 12 people. I'll also be going to the Integral Europe Conference, which is this May, and if you sign up for my mailing list, you'll hear about that. I want to make sure that people know that in Budapest, I think it's May 7th through 11th, there's going to be the biggest gathering in Europe of integral community. I think it's going to be a pretty important and historic event, and so I want people to be aware of that. And also, at the end of May, I'll be co-leading a major event in Boulder called the Integral Living Room. I'll be working there with Ken Wilber, Diane Hamilton, and Jeff Salzman. And if you go to terrypatton.com, I'll enter your email address. I'll keep you informed of that as well. So let's see if we have some questions. Looking here, there's a number of questions that have been typed in. But let me open up a line. This is a 720 area code, and the name, the caller ID for the line is John Patterson. So you're live. Please introduce yourself.
Thank you. It's really Melanie. As I'm listening, an unclear question keeps wanting to be answered. I'll make a stab at it, but it's the listening that each of us are. You know, how are we hearing the language and the words we're using? It came to me this morning in meditation, this space of this new way of thinking and feeling that's fresh to me, that you know, like, what is beyond awakening? It feels like this new space to create and make things. There's something going on that's not personal to me. And there's this wanting to share and not knowing how to share it, like the language. It's as though I have to invent new language to express the experience of what I'm experiencing. If there's any thing in there that you can respond to, I'll understand. If you can't, thank you.
Yes, thank you. Could you tell me your name again?
It's Melanie.
Melanie, right. Well, it's lovely to listen to you, Melanie, and I really get when you're speaking about not knowing how to formulate or express what seems to be available to you or coming through you. My experience of this is that I haven't had to be concerned about that so much, because I've been fortunate enough to find myself in circles of inquiry, places of research with like-minded people, where I think if we do consent to bring the kind of depth that I feel as you're speaking, that you're bringing through your life, then you will most naturally find yourself with other people creating nourishing transpersonal spaces in which you won't be needing to struggle to find any words. You know, where words are necessary for some kind of communication, then you know they will be given to you. But I don't find that of such a primary concern. I do think it's I guess a kind of responsibility that we have if we feel drawn to this field of life at all, to open ourselves to the possibility of finding other people to share it with. Because I don't think that's just because it's nice to form clubs or associations or even to join more workshops. I think it's because the level of life which we're invoking here necessarily is expressed through depth containers, collective containers. So I think that there comes a certain moment when we need necessarily to be with others in order to allow what we're speaking of here to come through.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Melanie. Okay, I want to read some of the questions that people have typed in. Been a bunch of really kind of interesting and lovely comments and questions. Let me begin with one from Robin in Fort Collins. Thank you so much for this call. One thing I've been struggling with recently is feeling pressure, mental and physical. It feels like there are loud, intuitive messages coming in. And right now they feel so loud, I'm having a hard time finding stillness and silence sufficiently to sort them out. Many things help out: yoga, meditation, cardio workouts, walks in nature. And yet it feels obvious to me that there is a greater stillness, intuition, peace, so close, so accessible. And yet I'm not accessing it. I'm not sure of how to let go of that resistance to increase gentleness and true listening. Thank you so much for sharing any insights you may have.
Yes, well, what comes is that in the space that's here between us, between you, Robin, I think you said your name was, myself and Terry, then I'm much less interested in the stillness that you're speaking of here. I'm much more interested in the pressure that you're experiencing. Because in my path through this work, I found that we most gain from placing our attention there where there seems to be most resistance. So pressure, I would at least hypothesize as a possible form of resistance. And if we were working together, then I would nourish a space in which we could explore together how you may be experiencing that pressure in your life, how it is being embodied, learning perhaps with some gentleness and subtlety to feel into the pressure, where and how it's expressing itself, and what therefore might be underneath it, what might its larger message be, as we learn to bring a form of presence to it through which it becomes more fully revealed, including what is its larger context. So in other words, taking it very seriously as that which is in your life that is most wanting attention and as possibly the most interesting thing in your life, which is probably asking for a fuller commitment.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Stephen. There's another question here from Merrill in Dresden who says, I'm a quite intellectual person and have a distrust of the irrational elements of life and also fear losing myself to fantasy. How can I try to integrate them?
That's good, isn't it? I find that the path through this work that we've been describing here can reveal more of what you've labeled forms of fantasy, and that within again, some kind of relational space, or preferably collective container, that there seems to be levels of discernment available to us, whereby we become not necessarily more intelligent, but which a form of intelligence comes through us that helps us to discern what's more of the level of fantasy that is less useful or less interesting, and more that which I might have dismissed as fantasy before, but which I might now be asking to, which I might be being asked to take more seriously in my inquiry, rather than having dismissed it before. So to look at what I'm meaning by fantasy and my experience of it, and to find what might be revealed through that.
Beautiful. You know, it occurs to me, Stephen, to ask you something. There are various schools here in the United States. There are psychic institutes and schools for developing psychic capacity, people who teach people to have lucid dreams or to build intuitive capacities, who seem to have a fascination. You know, like there can be a kind of egoic desire, yeah, to be powerful in these ways. And what I'm hearing from you is very different from that. And it isn't so much like I want this sensitivity as it is the qualities I'm feeling from you as you direct our attention and in the guidance you did at the beginning and in a number of your answers have more to do with being very, very self-honest and tender. It has more a quality of surrender and receptivity and deep listening and deep awareness and gentle presence than it does any motive to acquire some self-glorifying capacity or to, yeah, build up some personal empowerment agenda.
Yes, yes. Because I don't think we're speaking of so-called special abilities here. I think we're invoking a level or a form of humanity which is in potential unfoldment at the moment. You know, it's potential that we're sensing, many of us, through our daily lives and the opportunities that come to us, the invitations which we may or may not be receiving wholeheartedly. That there's a level at which it's possible to live life, which may well include what previously we could call psychic ability, for example, or some individualized special talent or sensitivity. But that feels a bit old now, you know, the way that would be framed. I think we're being invited to a higher order of life, in which I'm much less identified with these abilities and capacities as mine or yours. Mm. But that just seems less relevant.
Yeah, I like that. Thank you. I want to take another live question. This one's from a phone number in 520 that shows up in caller ID as Susan Stanko. Welcome. You're on the line.
Hi, Terry and Stephen. Mine is more of a comment. Can you hear me all right? Because I'm on the speakerphone.
I can hear you, Susan. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Stephen, this is just so profoundly timely for me, and I'm really emotional about it. Your clarity. Mm. And the way you speak of it all just touches me at an incredible level. I've been spontaneously having some of these things that you're talking about. And so for you to put them in the way that you put them with such grace and humility, it's just such a gift that I'm so thankful for. And as you were talking earlier in the conversation, I had this sense of, I could almost see it and feel it, that my way of sort of identifying with all of this was that it really is the soul of life itself. It's not a bunch of separate souls. It's allowing myself to open up to such a degree that I don't even know how to talk about it, but I just saw it and felt it so clearly that we're all part of this force. And, you know, we're so adept at keeping ourselves distracted. And it's so beautifully simple. It's so simple. So I just mostly, I'm so grateful to be able to tell you personally, thank you, thank you, thank you both. Terry, for opening the conversation, and Stephen, for just carrying it in the way that you have. It's such a gift to all of us. Thank you.
Lovely to meet you, Susan.
Yeah, thank you, Susan.
Thank you. And I would urge you to allow yourself to be ever more touched by this, in case you feel that it's too much to allow yourself to be touched in public or in life, but actually to explore the other direction, to allow yourself to be somebody who shines in life through the degree to which she's touched by life. And then I have the sense that this will become ever more transformative in and through you, and will touch far more many people. That's what comes to me upon hearing you. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. There are quite a few questions here. I'd like to ask them. Maybe we can see how quickly we can cover how many. Richard in Woodstock asks, you know, the final surrender to the divine is a huge step, and often ego stands in the way. How do we take that step and make the surrender, that last surrender, without the ego somehow taking over that process and coming back in?
I don't feel qualified, really, Richard, to answer that question. It feels like a form of ultimate question. I find my path more useful, more meaningful, as we said earlier on, in exploring those parts and aspects of my life where I'm still in some kind of subtle resistance to life. And I don't advocate too much either the use of even the expression ego all the time, as I don't find that too useful either. But the kinds of inquiry that we've been advocating here, I think baby step by baby step, as I'm revealed in more of my layering and experiencing myself as becoming more available and naked to life, then this to me is my primary focus, and not the sorts of ultimate questions which I get you're asking here, but which seem to me to be of less use, at least to me.
Thank you. I want to make sure we have time for a very practical question about your work from Jacqueline Elliott in Aubrey, California. She asks, please describe the difference of focus between your soul work and cultivating higher consciousness offerings.
So I'll try and be succinct. I found what I'm calling soul work here to be an intensive two-day process in which most people find that they explore and discover how the deeper motivation that we've been speaking about so far in this conversation has been taking form in their life, how they prevent themselves in unconscious or semi-conscious ways from coming into contact with that deeper motivation, usually gaining some insight into why that's been the case. In other words, why the places that I'm most, where I am most defended or protected, what was the deeper purpose behind those places in my life? What purpose did they serve? And how might I now begin to release those, if I, to the extent that I can allow them a deeper integration in my life? So most people experience through the soul work a sense of the larger soul journey, not necessarily as something so personal in the sense of my soul or that I have a soul, as in the way we commonly use the language, but as some form of impulse that's seeking expression through the form of the life that I'm calling mine, and therefore often in many people's case a sense of what next I might be being called to listen to in my life. That I would say is often the outcome of the soul work process. And then the other event that I'll mostly be doing during the US tour will be the Cultivating Higher Consciousness event, which is also an intensive two-day process, but which is, it has its focus, not, it has less of a focus on the personal journey. So we're more interested in, when we've organized these Cultivating Higher Consciousness events, of which I think there will be two during this tour, of gathering in the space people who are feeling compellingly called to this kind of inquiry, whether or not they have experience of it before, I'm not so interested in. They may have long experience of it, they may not, that's okay. But feeling strongly called into this space to share in the form of collective inquiry that we've been describing here, less for reasons of deepening their own personal path primarily, although of course that's always part of the picture, but really to dive into a form of collective experiment to see where these forms of consciousness and levels of consciousness might be inviting us to and what becomes available to us when we consent to going there. And that often involves what people identify as some form of healing movement, but it may not necessarily involve what we recognize as healing. But usually what does unfold through the space of this particular two-day process is a very strong experience of the power of the collective field, and of each of us feeling that we're being brought into contact with this higher impulse in our life. And again, where and how is this seeking stronger expression in our life? That's how I'd describe the two events, I think.
Mm.
Hope that helps.
No, that's really helpful.
Mm.
You know, I see a few more questions here, but we are pretty much at the end of our time, so my apologies to those of you, Debbie and Sam and Chris and others who had asked really good questions that I would like to have brought forward, but that I haven't had time to ask. And I want to here now mention some of the things that are coming up in our upcoming weeks. On March 9th, I'm going to be interviewing Candace O'Denver, a remarkable consciousness teacher. And then on March 23rd, I'm going to be interviewing the remarkable Bill Plotkin, author of Soulcraft and Wild Mind, and really a pioneer in ecological consciousness here on Beyond Awakening. And I'll be sending out information about that soon. In the meantime, I want to make sure that you know how to reach Stephen. I didn't spell his name. It's stephenbusby.com if you want to get to his main website. But for seeing him in the United States, Integral Alignment, integralalignment.com.
.org, Terry.
.org, that's right. Integral Alignment is .org. And if you value what you're receiving here, please support our work by letting others know about it. They can register for this series at beyondawakeningseries.com. And you're also invited to go to terrypatton.com, where you can sign up for my mailing list and you can find out more about my soul work processes, about the Integral Living Room, and about the Integral Europe Conference from there. Thank you so much for joining Stephen and me today. And Stephen, thank you very much. I think this has been a really tender and rich encounter in being, and I hope that many people are served by participating and partaking in what you've shared today.
Well, thank you, Terry. I've so much enjoyed our space together.
Goodbye, everyone.